So I suppose the first question should be, what was the last piece of mail that you received, and how do you normally feel about receiving mail?
I love getting mail. The last thing I received was, I get it most holidays for my grandmother. I got something for Thanksgiving, a little card with like a devotional book in it with like prayers and scriptures and things like that. It's
So,
always good to get.
yeah, I guess, I mean, I could totally see that as being, especially if it's a regular thing, having something that you can count on every certain time of year is always better. How do you deal with the increasing number of bills that we only get in the mail, though, right? I mean, most people hate going to the mail because it's only for bills.
I somehow have lucked out and I never get promotional stuff in my PO box. All my bills are paperless, so when I get something in the mail, it's for me and usually personal.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. That's what the mail should be, right?
Yeah.
So about the poem itself. So this is obviously a very like pop culture based poem. Are you frequently influenced by pop culture when you write poetry or things like that? How about like social media? How does that affect you?
I'm not typically influenced by pop culture. A couple of times I remember bringing up Mudbone from Richard Pryor's stand-up in a couple of poems, but just passing references to that. And social media, I actually wasn't going to do anything with this poem or its companions until this medium presented itself to me through Red Flag. But I was thinking about just posting a series of tweets or something from this sad persona. But I actually liked the idea of a postcard quite a bit, just this sad guy reaching out personally to various strangers.
Hey, that's great. That's fantastic. In another aspect, right? I know from personal experience that you once did some work on a literary magazine yourself. As a poet and a former editor, how does that ability to recognize a good poem from one that needs work impact the way that you construct and write poetry?
It's a good question. I don't think it really has anything to do with how I write. And then to be able to look at what I write objectively takes time, usually a month or two before I can look at something, but that like immediate objectivity is there. And reading through a couple hundred poems of from strangers, you have to have a very almost immediate sense and all that. And I feel like I can look at my poetry objectively. Now because of that, but I can't write it with an eye for what's good or not. I just have to write the bad and the good.
No, you said that, I mean, that when reading, do you actively read poetry yourself now? What are some of the poets that you go to?
This is going to be a real boring answer and a very typical answer, but I don't read too many new volumes of poetry. Just because I'm not in a situation where I can have good stuff recommended to me. When I do get newer stuff, I don't usually like a lot of it. But I go back to all the old poets. Whitman is always a favorite. Ginsberg, boring, white, waspy answer.
Nice, that's good. There's always this dynamic when reading poetry, and this is actually something that I've experienced myself. An old barrier that seems to keep people away from reading poetry stems from this claim of, I just don't get it. Do you feel as a poet that poets should be easily interpreted, or should its meaning be kind of masked in layers? And how do you deal with that divide, I guess?
It's possible to necessarily separate or categorize things by how evident their meaning is. I think it's a very, any poem should have a very visceral and immediate effect, whether or not its meaning is self-evident. So you should have, even before you look into it, you should have a feeling for it, or it should evoke something. And then I enjoy spending time. If I don't get something, it just makes me read it. Makes me analyze it very like objectively, figure out the form and everything, and go from there. I mean, I guess that sometimes is a more fulfilling experience. although sometimes not. You know, some people are just intentionally obscure.
So, yeah, no, I think that's really great. I mean, sometimes you just have to go back and reread. I think what I like about your poem is that what it is on the surface, there's also a lot more to it, right? It's very, it has this surface layer, which is just really fun and easily approachable. But then when you really start to look at it and you start to ask questions of it, it does so much more through this meaning of, as you already said, this personality, this sad, lonely guy who's taking something on. And I like that. I guess my final question for you is that, you know, you have already read for us, and I appreciate that. But what is the relationship between written and spoken poetry in your understanding, right? Because there's always poetry that just doesn't really work well when read, and then there's that poetry which doesn't work well when it's spoken. Can you explain your views on that? Is all poetry meant to be spoken?
I wouldn't say all poetry. I like poetry that is, but at the same time, I also like to hear different voices reading different people's poetry. A good example of that for me is The Wasteland by T.S. Eliot. If you've ever heard him read it, I love listening to those old wax cylinder recordings of the great old poets like Yeats or T.S. Eliot. But T.S. Eliot, it's strange. It's like it. I feel like it comes from a time and a tradition where it wasn't meant to be read, because when he reads it, it's very bombastic and drawn out, drawing focus to every magical word, and it's not the impression I get. You know, when I read it, the voice in my head is at a fever pitch for three quarters of it. And then you have Yeats, is always my favorite example of a poem that the poet is not the best person to read it, but that Lake Isle of Innisfree, if you ever look up that recording, it's like, "We'll arise and go now, and go to Innisfree." It's not pleasant to hear coming from him, but
right.
I always love hearing poets read their stuff, and I love hearing non-poets read the stuff as well.
Well, I want to thank you for devoting your time to sitting down with me today. And is there anything else that you want to say about your poem, or anything else that we should know about you as a poet?
This is an atypical poem for me. I had a lot of fun with just the, during a span of unemployment, watching too much Netflix. Like, it's almost like compartmentalizing that part of your personality, just sad and watching too much television. It was a useful exercise for me to be able to compartmentalize it and say, hey, it's not me, it's this persona. But I just appreciate the opportunity you've given me to send it in what I think is the perfect medium for it. So.
All right, well, thank you so much for your time, and good luck for you, and hopefully we'll see some more poetry from you.
Thank you much.
All right, cool.